All right, welcome. So this, as I said earlier, this is going to be as much just a sharing time. A little bit of stuff I want to weave in there on some, a little bit of teaching. And I'll explain more about that in a little bit. But most of it's just sharing about something that's a change with Lisa and I. Of course, that affects, you know, the body here, the community here. Relationship Church has never, we're inching closer to 30 years here, aren't we? It's definitely above 25. It's probably closer to 30 now if I do my math right. But it's never been about the numbers. There's just different seasons with Relationship Church all these years. Different numbers of people. It's been higher at times, lower at times, et cetera, et cetera. But it's never been about the numbers. It's always been Craig's heart. It's always wanting to, it's really about what Jan kind of led off today. It's about how do we as a body align with God's purpose and stay aligned with Him. But there has been an incredible amount of influence that has come out of this little body of people in Northwest Georgia for the last almost 30 years. The connections there, the ministries that have come out, people who have left and started other ministries, you know, and et cetera. And a lot of that is some of why there's some people that aren't here today. I mean, you've got Craig and Chad that I guess they're back in the States now, in Georgia, that have been in Bulgaria for the last week, reconnecting with pastors and leaders and teaching at some different churches and et cetera, really touching base. But that's the present part of that. There was a past part of that in the Bulgaria. I think Craig said he hadn't been there in like 6 years. But I remember way back in 2001 that Craig and I and a few of you may know Tony Giamanco, went to Bulgaria and were there for about a week doing something similar. We went to a kind of a consolidation, different churches that are associated with their leaders and did just kind of a leadership ministry, did a little kids ministry and et cetera. So that Bulgaria has a long history here, you know, with this church and connections and Lubo, that's the primary pastor now. That we stay connected with them. You know, and another one's going to happen is the Dominican Republic. So there's some people that are getting ready for that trip that's going to take off, I think, Wednesday. Sometime this week, they're going to be a group that are headed out again. That's now starting to be a regular a couple of times a year there with Ramon down and supporting him in the Dominican Republic. But there was also a pass to the DR as well. I was cleaning out some old CDs and some old pictures and some old tapes, trying to purge some stuff out of our house, and ran across pictures of two of my sons with Craig on a DR trip back about 15 years ago. And that was under a different person. It was Vaughn Gordon. I think I get the names right. That they were connected to at that time. And I just bring all these things together. There's just an amazing connection. There, of course, is, think of how many adoptions have happened out of, you know, the people out of, you know, this congregation and all the lives that's touched and et cetera. Compassion House, the Round Table, the different churches associated there, a place called Hope. But another one I wanted to make sure, and I could keep going, but I really wanted to emphasize both thank you guys, worship team, for what you did here, but I don't really think we have a clue the effect that our worship team over the last 25 years has had in this area. I'd say it probably dwarfs any of the other stuff that I had on the list, which is why I put it at the end. The emphasis needs to be there. Influence you've had with teams. You know, Mike is now at Northwest Fellowship helping there with their team. Y'all have done that with a bunch of different churches. And it's just been over time. I mean, my brother Ken was here for years leading worship. He now leads worship at one of the Rockbridge churches in Ringgold. And is also on the board there. It's just, it just goes on and on. So I started out with that to say that we can add another one to the list. So I'm going to go into more detail, but basically Lisa and I will be moving in 2 months. So we've been living on the Cooper compound, as everybody's made fun of us for 30 years, and we'll be moving in 2 months. We'll move about mid-November. not far away. God didn't call me to Africa. I always told him I'd do everything for you, but I'm not going to Africa. And so he didn't call me to Africa because he knew I wouldn't go. But we're just moving down to Rome, Georgia, just, 45 minutes, an hour away. And it's for a ministry called Amber Grace. It is a community that is getting built. And the focus of that community, and I'm going to, Alexis is going to cue up a video here in a minute that'll give you a visual and put it into perspective. You're also going to see that we're not going to be suffering for Jesus either. It's a really nice facility. So the focus of the community is to be taking people with called IDD, intellectual and development disabilities. People call it special needs, but you could be cerebral palsy, it could be Down syndrome, it could be autism, et cetera, you name it. Now this community, it's very, I'm going to go into a little more detail of its origin, where it came from, how we met them, and et cetera. So I'll fill in some details there here in a minute. This specific community is going to be dedicated 100% to high functioning Down syndrome, is where they're targeting. The goal of this is, It's been going, founded about 5-6 years ago, tons and tons and tons of planning. You'll see all the incredible construction and money that had to be raised to get this to where it is today. But then the goal is to take this, be successful in this location, and then replicate this across the country into multiple, and extend it past Down syndrome to other areas. But they want to learn and get good, find best practices, find what works, doesn't work, et cetera, before, continuing forward. So if you could put up that video and gives a good perspective of what the visual here. Awesome. Thank you for playing that. And I'm glad she paused it, right there. So be hard to kind of see, but it gives a great visual of where we're going. This is on 35 acres at the Berry College campus. They have established a lease of a 50-year lease to put this kind of investment here, to put this in place. It's been cool. There's a lot about Berry College I didn't know. I knew it was a good college, good foundation. Martha Berry, who started it, a lot of good principals, and et cetera. But also Windshape, they did a very similar thing for Windshape, which Windshape is Chick-fil-A's charitable organization that they founded that specialized in foster care and adoption and et cetera. And a bunch of other stuff. But the Windshape, what you call it, community or location, is probably about a mile and a half from this, down the road. Now, it's not, and I'll go into a little bit more, it's not associated with Chick-fil-A and it's not associated with Windshape, but the heart of Berry College and kind of where they're coming from, you can see they look for organizations that they can leverage their property, their mission, and et cetera, and partner with them. So very, very cool. It's really cool to meet people who we talk a lot about in this country of a lot of wealth and a lot of money, and et cetera. And then we sometimes wonder, why aren't people doing more with it? And we sometimes just don't look for where it is happening. So it's really cool. This All of this has gotten built debt-free. Amazing, amazing. And I told him I wasn't going to move unless I had a pool in my backyard. So if you look in, did you see the pool?
I saw it.
So Lisa and I's house is the one where that backs up to that pool. I wanted it in my backyard. explaining here. So it is, I don't have a pointer to point it, but you've got four, I'll call them complexes, and I'll explain what I mean by that. You got four houses on this side. You got four houses on the far side. The houses on this side will be male. The houses on the other side will be female. This is targeted at like I mentioned, the disability Down syndrome, and it's for adults. It's not for high school kids. It's not for teenagers. It's trying to provide a life of independence and continual growth and continuing to achieve their potential as adults. So it's for 25 years old and up that will be there. Each one of these houses that you see will have six. They went long and hard trying to figure out what to label, you know, everybody in this process, and didn't want to call them clients, didn't want to call them residents, so they're neighbors. And that really reinforces that what we're trying to create is a community and a family, not some institution type of thing. So within each one of these houses, eventually, will be six, you know, either female or male. So that'll make a total of 48, you know, once it eventually gets filled up and et cetera. As a part of what I call it a complex, as a part of each one of those is each support family. So Lisa and I have been hired as a support family. Now, on staff there, you'll have support family. There'll be respite needs. We'll be there 7 days a week, but we'll get 2 days a week off. Lisa's actually the employee, not me. I get to sit back and do nothing and let her do the work. Yeah. I'll go into a little more detail. That it is so beautiful how God has put this together. It really is. There's no way we could have planned anything like this. We'll be there as support family. Like I said, there'll be respite needs reason I mentioned that. There's a separate one-bedroom apartment as a part of this for the respite people, whether it's a family or a person that comes in and provides relief that we're on vacation, we're doing something else. They know that they'll burn the support families all out if we do 7 days a week, you know, 52 weeks out of the year. So we get 5 days on, 2 days off. And so they'll have a respite people that can come in and stay in that apartment. Of course, they get paid, you know, to pick up when we're off. But it also is just amazing. You see the other buildings, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but it helps clarify when you talk about the staff. There'll be there's one of the buildings there is a clinic. So there'll be a full-time nurse on staff, director of programming. I don't even know all the, there's several programming events. So schedule during the day is they'll have things going from 8:30 to 4:30 every day. That'll be classes, you know, life skill classes, that'll be fitness, all kinds of stuff they've got plans for. And also availability hoping to find those that are capable to do work, whether that's work in this community, work at Berry College, work in the Rome community, and et cetera. Our job is not that really 8:39 to 4. We're not doing, Lisa's not going to be teaching all the classes and all that other kind of stuff. That's other people's responsibilities. Now, we'll do breakfast with them. We'll do dinner with them. Dinner will be catered in at night. It's our job because they want it to be a family to sit down and all have dinner together, you know, and et cetera. But I or her doesn't have to cook dinner every single night and et cetera. It's just an amazing setup that what they have planned and what they put together and God's done a, you know, fantastic thing there. I'm going to keep moving. We'll probably have plenty. I'm hoping I won't talk too long. We have plenty of time for questions and answers, and I can talk more about some of the practical details and stuff there. I want to jump into then how did we get here? Before I do that, and just explain a little bit is, and most of this you guys already know, you know, because you know Lisa and I, you know our family, you know, and et cetera. But always a verse that has driven us, and I can think I can truly say both of us, and is, you know, and I grew up in a household that talked a lot about theology and a lot about doctrine and a lot about different teachings and, you know, and et cetera. But it was always, always impressed on me by the Lord that it really just simplify it. Stop making it so complicated. It's about loving one another. John 13, 34, 35. Love one another. That's really what it's all about. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Of course, y'all have heard it a million times, but I wanted to start with that because that really has been our heart in trying to, as all the millions of mistakes we made as parents and we made as growing, you know, living life, you know, hopefully centering in that plumb line, as Jan said earlier, back to that verse. Another one, though, that has driven me, and this is more targeted at me, and this has good things and it has probably some interesting side notes to it, but is the back part of Luke 12:48. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I tear up to say, I read that verse, struck home with me, 14, 15 years old. And the only reason I don't know why I tear up. This is stupid. I tear up. The only reason I tear up is because I feel that love of God, that he has given me that much and that many blessings. And so that verse, people ask all the time, and I forget about this verse sometimes. People ask me all the time, so what's your favorite verse? It's not my favorite verse, but that's the verse that's driven me for my life. You know, and so over the years, and again, you know us well, family's been a real big focus for us, friends, community, having fun, you know, and et cetera, has always been a big part of our lives. As we turned 60, and it's probably more me than her, it's the first time I ever hit a birthday that I didn't like, that I hit, that bothered me, you know, and a good buddy of mine that I grew up with, put it in perspective. He said, come on, Brian, this is just the fourth quarter. We're just hitting the fourth quarter. We got plenty of time. And I like that. I've been sticking to that. But it's just the fourth quarter. But my mind did shift to start saying, okay, what am I going to do in my fourth quarter? It's not just about looking at retirement, how I'm going to handle Social Security, and, you know, what money do I have and sitting in a 401k or whatever else. What are we going to do? And, you know, of course, my mind went more towards the practical part of that. What are we going to do with a five-bedroom house that we don't need anymore, you know, and et cetera. And that's kind of where my focus was. Now, as I look back, this started about 2.5 years ago. As I look back now, God had something completely, totally different in mind than my practical nature of David and Courtney coming in, moving into our house, us building a house on the property, and I thought that was it. I thought that was God's plan, you know, and that's, you know, and I was comfortable with that. About 6 months after, seven, 8 months after David and Courtney moved in, wish they could have been here tonight. David wasn't feeling well, so I think that's why they didn't show up, because we had something we wanted to give Courtney, but we'll give it to her later. About 7 or 8 months after they moved in, Lisa has a sister, Julia, that lives in Cleveland, Tennessee. I love my sister, brother-in-law. They're great people, wonderful people. They met at Father Heart, which is a ministry of YWAM. Just to give you a little bit of taste of quality, you know, it's not just brother and sister-in-law. We love them. They are just wonderful people. Anyway, they've got four boys. They were also, it was their dad that played a part in us looking and starting to search for adoption. So there's, you know, a lot of cool connections there and relationships there. Anyway, they met Father Heart. They've adopted a couple of girls. Their little girl, Nation, is a miracle girl. She wasn't supposed to live past two. She's now 8 years old. So they've been in that foster care, adoption. Julia's been heavily involved in foster care community in Cleveland, Tennessee, and wind shape all along. But then they also had to turn their eyes towards what are we going to do in the special needs side? You know, what does adulthood look like for nation, you know, et cetera. So they reached out a little less than a year ago and said, Brian, Lisa, will y'all go have dinner with us? We want to talk about something, but we can't do it with family and friends yet because everybody will freak out on us. And so we went and had dinner with them. They shared about Amber Grace. They shared what the mission was, the objective is, et cetera, et cetera. And said, would you please pray with us, you know, that is this for us or not? But we just needed somebody to be a sounding board. So we met with them probably a couple more times in December and January of this last year. It was about the third time we sat with them or went to have dinner with them that we thought, okay, this has moved past a sounding board thing and moved past a recruiting thing. We think y'all are recruiting us to go do this. and you know, you just got, one day you'll meet Josh. He's a great guy. And he got that little grin on his face. I said, you got a fish on the hook and you're pulling me in, aren't you? and he said, yeah, kind of. So there was a lot of things. I'm going to speed this up. There's a lot of things that very quickly just aligned, I mean, with our lives. And then specifically with, you know, Lisa, and I love it that Lydia's here and Josh is here. You know, we as again, everybody knows, we went through our own journey for 20 plus years with Joseph and Lydia, wondering what's going on, how can we help, how can we help them achieve their potential. A lot of doctor's visits, a lot of, you know, et cetera. And all, you know, eventually we found out it was the FAS diagnosis and et cetera. And then it becomes a world of, okay, what does that mean? What do you do? How do you react? What do you treat as normal, not normal? What, you know, and et cetera. And I'm going to talk about potential here a little bit. And how do we help them get to the potential that God has for them? So when we heard about Amber Grace, again, a lot of the financial part, a lot of this and that, we now, you know, just suddenly, for the first time in our entire marriage, we are not tied down with a mortgage, you know, with a house. There's just tons of practical things there that it was just like, we can't use that as an excuse. They're not going to do this. And then, but all that aside, then you start looking, you think, okay, And you know, I played a part, but mine was a minimal part. She played 99% of the part of all the dealing with all the social services, the IEPs, the Social Security, and SSI, and SSDI, and there's so many acronyms, you make fun of IT, forget it. The government and the federal agencies and all these social services, I can't keep track of all the acronyms of everything. She kept track of all that stuff. So now, look at the training. Look what God had in mind. Look at the training that she's had. Perfectly positions her to in her fourth quarter to do something like this. So really pretty cool. You know, I love stepping back, and sometimes it's hard to do, but stepping back and trying to look at it from a 500-foot level, and then you can start connecting the pieces and the dots and see how God just orchestrates some beautiful stuff, you know, in there. So very quickly, we started our checklist of, well, it's got to do this, got to do this, this has to happen, this happened, you know, normal stuff you would do. First interview we did was me reaching out. They hired at that time, he was new, a guy named Chris, and he's from, was 20 plus years at Young Life. So I reached out with him. I didn't make it home in time to have the interview with him. It's a phone interview. So I had to pull over into a dark parking lot under a street light and talk with him for 30, 45 minutes. And I laid a bunch of fleeces down, you know, as far as, okay, if you're not going to do this, then this is over. We don't have to think about this again. And obviously worked out good. But the other part of it is just, you know, there's just certain people you meet, and there's just a connection. There's just a one. There's just your heart aligns, you know, with their heart. Chris is an amazing guy. And so went through that and said, all right, went back, talked to Lisa. I think we need to take the next step. So we drove down to Barrett Parkway. We sat for 2 hours and met the founders of this, David and Debbie. We sat there in Chick-fil-A for 2 hours. We could have talked all night long. There was an immediate oneness, you know, with them. It's unbelievable, you know. I need to get her up to talk. But so David, to give some background here, David was the 70-something, 78th, I think it was, employee at Chick-fil-A. Yeah. So, you know, he was all the time in Kathy's office, you know, and et cetera. He has a lot of things that I really, really over time want to sit down and pick his brain and hear some stories. He's very hesitant, you could tell, very humble. It would be very rare to meet somebody like that that's not all about themselves and wants to talk about themselves. And basically, he's a guy you're going to have to pull all that out, which is pretty cool. But you remember when Chick-fil-A's were only in shopping centers and not self-standing, freestanding? He was the one that was put in charge to take them to that next level to go to freestanding stores and et cetera. So you can see this is a guy who has started this. The reason this has gotten started and this is their passion and this is where et cetera is they have 4 children. 3 girls, 1 boy, one of the girls, Amber Grace. God, why do I do that? She is. When I say her name, I'm looking at her. It's Down syndrome. So they've lived that journey of what do we do? You know, what do we do to help Amber achieve that end? I'm not going to look over here anymore. Lisa's tearing up. You can tell it's our heart. I'm sorry. Forgive me for the breaking up. It's just where our heart's at.
Don't ask forgiveness for that.
All right. Thank you. I'll drink some water so I can get into this. Cool family. You got Amber Grace, which all of this is centered, you know, was launched, you know, because of her. In their journey and what they've learned and where they're going, et cetera. Their other 3 children are very successful. 2 of them work at Chick-fil-A. I may get this a little wrong. A couple of them are doctors. All of them now are back in Atlanta and live in Atlanta. And David was telling us when they met and trying to talk about what their vision was, what their passion was, and et cetera. They're like, but we're not going to do this without a whole family commitment. I mean, it won't be possible. And they were like, we're all in. Let's do it. Just very, very cool. And to talk about kind of even the level of success, that's not one of their children, it's one of the spouses of their daughters, is one of the physicians for the Atlanta Falcons, and et cetera. Just a very, but again, very, very, very humble. And meek. It's just amazing to see the balance there. So we did the 2 hours with them. And then it became time, because the next level of that, this was about a 6-month process. I'll speed it up a little bit for us before we got hired, maybe close to 6 months. And then it was her and I sitting down and saying, okay, this makes sense for all of these practical reasons and all of these other things. But is it something that really God's called us to do? That was the tough part. That's one where we went off in our own little corners, didn't talk about it much for maybe 60 days, you know, and then came back and said, okay, we've got to get back to them in one way, shape, or another, so we've got to make a decision. Lisa, what are you thinking? Brian, what are you thinking? And it was clear that both of us felt God was calling us to do this. So we felt like we had that alignment that was talked in intercession. And, of course, we had all the practical stuff we had checked off on the list. And really what we see God doing here is all the stuff that, and I'll just wrap this piece of this up, is that what God's doing here is all the stuff that's been a part of our lives is all just preparing us for another step, you know, another level up. So what we have lived is basically community. on, and again, I joke about it, the Cooper compound, but which also includes the Bruners as a part of that, is it's been wonderful, but it's been a lot of work. There's been some times, we don't talk about those times, but there's been some times to where we didn't speak to different people on that compound for a while. And Thanksgiving, we almost didn't have Thanksgiving a few times, you know, and et cetera. I mean, I'm being serious. You don't put anybody together, whether it's family or just people you know, without having some conflict. So part of this, we also know we've lived this for 30 years. Now we're going in, we're going into a different area, and you're going to have five other support families. There's been four support families, including us, hired. One of the support families, which is brother and sister-in-law, has two young kids, and then at least one of the older boys will live there. Another family has six kids. Another support family is an empty nester, like Lisa and I. So think of the mix of the people, and then you throw in there the eventually the other four support families, and you throw in 48 adults. It's going to be quite the work, and I pray we've been trained well. We may be flying up here every Sunday night saying, "Please pray for me, please." Flexible. That's right. So that's it. We'll get the keys to the place November 17th. We've been really the last few months have been really trying to prepare of what to, we've been frequent flyers at Johnny Carnes' thrift store and trying to give things away and purge and getting ready for this. And you know, we'll continue to do that over the next couple of months. Still a few things we've got to work out. She'll be the full-time employee. I didn't mention this. I'll still keep my normal job. My boss was gracious. He was, you know, we were supposed to be doing 3 days a week in Chattanooga in the office, and he's been 100% supportive. And I said, you know, probably I can do, let's just say I'll do 1 day a week in the office. So I'll drive to Chattanooga 1 day a week and still be in the office, just work the rest of the time remote. And so I'm able to keep my job, keep things going, you know, like has been kind of my passion and my commitment there. So that's the practical side of all of this. One thing I want to mention, another part of that journey when we were trying to figure out that what they were building, what they were about, you know, and et cetera. They handed us a 43-page document called Appropriate Independence. It's written by some people out of Shepherd's College up in Wisconsin. And it is a beautiful, beautiful document. For us, it's basically the manifesto. It's your handbook. You know, how do they want to see this community get built? How should we treat each other and et cetera? It is so rich, and it's targeted for disabled people with disabilities and et cetera, but every single one of the principles there applies to everybody, no matter if you're disabled or not. I would love it. I don't have to twist Craig's arm and let him, you know, my original vision for tonight was to go through and pull out a bunch of teachings out of that and targeted that to us, you know, and et cetera. But then as I was preparing for that for the last couple of weeks, especially this week, this would be a series. I'd have to do this over several Sundays. So maybe Craig, you know, has a gap somewhere and I can start doing that going forward sometime. But one thing I wanted to just touch base on is a couple of things, and I'll have to read it because I can't, the way they say it's beautiful. But it kind of just sets maybe something in the future that can teach from. So I'm just going to read a few things. How can we minister in a manner that fosters growth, freedom, and self-sufficiency rather than perpetual dependency? And I throw that out as a mouthful, but I throw that out and you can see, yes, that applies to disabled, but look how easily we talk about victim mentality. We talk about other things to where we create dependence. You don't have to be disabled. So how do we, even as parents, even as counselors, even as friends, and et cetera, do we foster growth, freedom, and self-sufficiency? A place where performance is measured proportionally and worth is offered unconditionally. I'm going to keep reading and I'm going to come back to that. It is a place where stereotype and prejudice are confronted, where people are seen as people, not as disabled people. And again, doesn't have to be disabled. It could be, you know, you're not the right color of skin. You're not the right height. You're not the right weight. You're not the right attitude, you know, et cetera. It is an imperfect place full of imperfect people, but it is a place where the love of God has found vibrant expression in that very imperfection. A place where potential is realized and purpose fulfilled. I love going back up where it says a place where performance is measured proportionally and worth is offered unconditionally. You know, it got mentioned earlier, and of course it's still forefront of everybody's mind, about Charlie Kirk getting assassinated. A few days later, I called my son, lives in Birmingham, Daniel, and we were talking, you know, as all of us have done, we were talking some about it, and a little bit kind of moved over into, you know, what's causing all this tumultuous, as was talked about in intercession, et cetera. Daniel, who surprises me sometimes, he, with his maturity, he just stopped me. He said, the root of the issue is we have an identity crisis. And I was like, whoa, that's pretty straight on. Well, what ties to that identity crisis? That we don't understand that our worth is unconditional. We were created in the image of God. He created us with purpose. He created us with excitement, with passion, and plans for what we were going to do in this world, in this kingdom, you know, that he had placed us in. That worth is unconditional. Performance is proportional. There's a lot of things that go into that. You're not to judge the performance and et cetera, and you grow in that performance and et cetera. But it always comes back to that worth is unconditional. Man, there's so much here that I would like to talk about. I'm actually going to skip forward. One of the things, the one little snippet, you could tell this would be a multi-Sunday series. The one little thing I want to wrap this thing up is that they talked a lot in here that just really struck a chord with me, and that's tapping into that unrealized potential. And again, that's us talking with parents, with friends, with brothers, sisters, siblings, etc. Is unrealized potential is a tragedy. It's a shame. As parents, as we're trying to train our children up, you want them to see the potential that they can be. And there was a cool story. I have to talk about football. I can't do a speak talk without football. But it won't be about Georgia and Georgia Tech. Imagine now a professional football team, say the Atlanta Falcons. This is a true story. The starters have taken the field. The top performers are in their respective places. Over on the sidelines, on the bench, sits a young, newly drafted quarterback, third string. Fresh out of college, thinks he's going to start, et cetera, but he's sitting on the bench. And most, if you know anything about football, professional, third string quarterback's not going to go very far. What was this guy's name? This is 1992. Brett Favre. If anybody knows anything about football, you know who Brett Favre is. It's Brett Favre's third string quarterback sitting on the bench with the Atlanta Falcons, who not any good in 92. And he's not good enough to start. He becomes fodder for the trading blocks. So Atlanta starts shipping him around. I had to look it up. The starting quarterback that he's sitting behind is a guy named Chris Miller. That I'm an Atlanta pro football fan. I never heard of the guy. I can't remember him. I don't know who Chris Miller was. But that's how buried he was, you know, there. Does he have potential? Sure. But at that point, it's untested, undeveloped, and unrealized. Now, fast forward to a Hall of Fame career later and ask the obvious. What if he had never been traded to the lowly winless Green Bay Packers? What if someone had not seen his potential? It was an accident, an injury that gave Brett Favre the ball, even at the Green Bay Packers. And the rest is history. Potential was realized. Third game of that season in 1992, the Green Bay, was a guy, and I do kind of remember this guy's name, Dan Majowski, that tore his ankle third game of the season. They had no choice but to give the ball to Brett Farr. That started a career of 15-plus years. But the other thing that was amazing is he set the record, and I'm sure the record's still in place, of consecutive starts. 321 games he started without missing a game. And this was a guy that started his career on the bench as a third-string quarterback. So I get excited about opportunities to find, and I've done this and tried to do this in pieces in my career and, you know, et cetera, as I've got people that I'm working with for or for me, you know, of trying to look to see where some of that potential can be. How can you tap into it? How can you keep that, you know, going forward? And I'm very excited that we get to do that 7 days a week here at Amber Grace and see what potential we can pull out, you know, out of these people that will extend our family now. Now we're going to need a lot of prayer. If I'm in under a roof with seven women, I'm going to need a lot of prayer. So I'll probably go into the office in Chattanooga 5 days a week, not 1 day a week to get away. But anyway, I'll just wrap this up with a couple other quick points. First, God has a plan and a purpose for each of his children. He has designed us on purpose for purpose. As we discover and execute that purpose, we become a part of the Master's plan for this universe. Second, the uniqueness of our individuality displays the art history and creative power of an awesome God. I'd like to have that in a frame someplace. Our uniqueness showcases, I'll say it differently, God's art history and creativeness in each and every one of us individually. But his creative purpose also places us in community in which we can contribute and flourish. He has created us as individuals for a community. So, I'm excited. Thank you all for, and, you know, again, I'll go back to just a practical. We don't know, we will move in November. Lisa technically starts getting paid in November. They won't start moving in. They're in the process of hiring and, applicants for neighbors for all of this now. They've got, I think, six in the queue that are probably going to finish and get approved. Four of those will be female. Two are male at this point. But that won't start till February. So they won't move the first neighbors in until February. So the month of December and January is supposed to get through the holidays, get settled in, get training. I've got to have like CPR training, you know, and some things like that. She'll get most of the training, obviously, since she's the employee and fully, you know, responsible there. So between now and then, you know, and even after then, I was telling Alexis earlier, you know, they really want us to again act as a family and be a community. And so finding a church down in Rome that we can take them to, we'll have a 12, 14 passenger van, you know, to be able to take to doctor's appointments and other things and et cetera, and then to be able to take, you know, to church for those that want to go to church. So we'll find a church, you know, on Sunday mornings that we can, you know, identify there in that community in Rome. Anybody knows some good churches? I haven't even started looking. But it's pretty cool that these services are at night, you know, here. So I don't know that we'll be here every Sunday night. I'm sure we won't. But Bigfoot doesn't show up every Sunday night anyway, does he? That's an inside joke if you hadn't heard it. But no, I don't see anything, you know, anything stopping for, you know, hopefully my goal is to at least twice a month, you know, be here on Sunday nights. And it may be a little more until we hit February and get real, a little more busy. But, yeah. So just wanted to thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for hearing our heart, hearing my heart. It's her heart, too, but she won't get up and speak. Anyway, one other piece I wanted to do, and I'm gonna stop with this, I promise, if she was here, because this is one thing Lisa was going to get up and do. I'm humbled that my daughter-in-law How many daughter-in-laws, how many of your women here would want to move into your in-law's house open-ended when they're going to leave? And you're going to get that house. And so Courtney being willing to do that, you know, our kind of tentative plans where they move in, we take about 6 months, we'd start building a house. Building a house takes a while, so I'm sure she figured it'd probably take about a year. But about 6 months into this started panning out, and we put on hold that thought of building a house, which eventually we're still going to do. Once we're done here, we're going to move back. You know, we'll do that. Just put that plan on hold. And so I'm just humbled that she was willing, has been willing, you know, to let this be open-ended, you know, and us share a house now for a year and a half. Pretty amazing. So I appreciate that in her. So we'll give her credit. Yeah. Yeah, she does have flowers, so we'll give her to them when we show up at house tonight. All right, that is it. Anybody want to close with anything? Or? I love it. I'm glad I said we could leave time to Q&A and answer questions, etc. Yeah. It's unbelievable. I didn't want to go into some of this stuff, and I'm glad you're standing next to me. I mean, we've got a 4-bedroom house we're moving into. We got plenty of room. And, the other thing is, there's a gymnasium there. Mm-hmm. Part of that gymnasium is a stage. Screen that comes down.
Wow.
I'm hoping to kind of get some fellas down there to do maybe some a Friday night here,
a little
there,
bit of worship.
Saturday night here, and do a little worship time.
Done. Done.
And instead of maybe get Chuck down there for watch Georgia football on that big screen.
I can't lead worship unless Chuck's at the back door. If he's not there, it's just not going to happen. So Jen's going to close us out here in a second. I'm going to just want to let you know you've been promoted from Bigfoot to the Silver Surfer.
I got to go back and look up Silver Surfer now.
I didn't totally understand Brian and Lisa's calling because there was a time when I was pestering him to really take on a big pastoral role here, and I didn't understand what was going on in his life as far as what God was trying to train him to do, because his mountain, if you look at the 7 mountains on the wall, is crystal clear for Lisa and Brian that their mountain is the mountain of family. That's what they're called to. And so much of that time when he had to spend time away, because he had such a large family, to spend time with kids and the children and caring for them, prepared him for that moment. So I innocently called him Bigfoot because it was rare to see a sighting for Brian. I knew he existed and he was friendly. And
my mom even bought me a shirt, Bigfoot shirt.
Yeah, it was Bigfoot shirt. But it was just an innocent, and he secretly knows I'm trying to take his place as the youngest Cooper in the family. So but that will never happen. But no, so I see 2 silver arrows being shot out into Rome. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Wonderful thing to see happen. So I think Jan's got something to say real quick, and I'm sure what we need to do as a body of believers, and maybe I'm sure Craig will want to repeat this before they go down to Rome, is we commission them, as we do, with all of our family members who have got a new journey. They are an extension, and they are a son and daughter of this house. And so what they need from us is prayer,
yeah,
to cover them in this new season, to give them peace, clarity, and wisdom as they start this new journey. And maybe we can finally put to rest all the Bigfoot jokes, right?
I like it.
I like it.
Can I burn the shirt?
You can burn the shirt if you want to. I don't know. Mom bought it. I wouldn't cross her if I were you. So. All right.